Episode 74, Christmas 1776.
Welcome to the Principles in Practice podcast. This is where we discuss biblical principles for life and learning. I'm your host, Heather Hall, and this is my co-host,
Brian Hall.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to our show. Listen, if our podcast blesses you and if the content is of value to you, would you go ahead and follow the Principles in Practice Homeschool podcast? And also give it a like, leave a comment, share it with other people. It would bless us greatly. As we approach Christmas, we're taking time to pause and consider America's history on the Liberty History timeline. God's hand in our history as a nation is so evident, but not everyone knows how to see it yet. By the end of this episode, you'll have an understanding of what it's like to see through a providential worldview lens. Our premise is that God is involved with the lives of men and nations, and that even today, He governs over the weather. We can find the biblical principle of God governing over the weather in Jeremiah chapter 10, verses 12 through 13, Leviticus chapter 26, verse 4, Jonah chapter 1, verse 4, and Matthew 8, verses 23 through 27, just to name a few. On the night of December 24th, 1776, snow silently fell upon the frozen ground as the troops slept in the camp. The next morning, they awoke to frigid weather. General George Washington planned to move his 2,400 men across the Delaware River to attack the enemy. The frosty weather had him questioning his plans. But this was no time to retreat. Too much was at stake. There had been several intense battles with no major victories of which to speak, but several significant defeats behind them. No, they had to move forward. It was now or never. The decision was made to move his 2,400 men across the Delaware River despite the storm of sleet and snow. The highly trained Hessian mercenaries would never suspect an attack under such conditions. Therefore, they let their guard down and went indoors. That gave General Washington the element of surprise, which is exactly what was needed to win the Battle of Trenton. In his letter to the Continental Congress, dated December 27, 1776, General George Washington gives the account of how the events unfold. "I have the pleasure of congratulating you upon the success of an enterprise which I had formed against a detachment of the enemy lying in Trenton, and which was executed yesterday morning. The evening of the 25th, I ordered the troops intended for this service, which were about 2,400, to parade back of McConkie's Ferry, that they might begin to pass as soon as it grew dark, imagining we should be able to throw them all over with the necessary artillery by 12 o'clock, and that we might easily arrive at Trenton by 5 in the morning, the distance being about 9 miles. But the quantity of ice made that night impeded the passage of the boats so much that it was 3 o'clock before the artillery could all get over, and near 4 before the troops took up their line of march. This made me despair of surprising the town, as I well knew we could not reach it before the day was fairly broke. But as I was certain there was no making a retreat without being discovered and harassed on repassing the river, I determined to push on at all events. I formed my detachments into 2 divisions, one to march by the lower or river road, and the other by the upper or Pennington road. As the divisions had nearly the same distance to march, I ordered each of them, immediately upon forcing out guards, to push directly into the town, that they might charge the enemy before they had time to form. The upper division arrived at the enemy's advanced post exactly at 8 o'clock, and in 3 minutes after, I found from the fire on the lower road that that division had also got up. The L Guards made but small opposition, though for their numbers. They behaved very well, keeping up a constant retreating fire from behind houses. We presently saw their main body formed, but from their motions, they seemed undetermined how to act. Being hard pressed by our troops, who had already got possession of part of their artillery, they attempted to file off by a road on their right leading to Princetown, but perceiving their intention, I threw a body of troops in their way, which immediately checked them. Finding from our disposition that they were surrounded, and that they must inevitably be cut to pieces if they made any further resistance, they agreed to lay down their arms. The number that submitted in this manner was 23 officers and 886 men. General Washington further explained how he lost few men, 2 officers, and 1 or 2 privates were wounded. So on December 25th, 1776, General George Washington secured the Continental Army's first major military victory of the Revolutionary War. Here are a few truths to consider in regards to the weather and how God is actively involved with it. In Jeremiah chapter 10, verses 12 through 13, it says, "He hath made the earth by his power, and established the world by his wisdom, and hath stretched out the heaven by his discretion. He giveth by his voice the multitude of waters in the heaven, and he causeth the clouds to ascend from the ends of the earth. He turneth lightnings to rain, and bringeth forth the wind out of his treasures." Leviticus chapter 26, verse 4 says this about God: "I will then send you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall give their fruit." Jonah 1:4 gives an account of God governing over the weather. "But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken." And Matthew 8, verses 23 through 27 says, "And when he was entered into the ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, so that the ship was covered with waves, but he was asleep. Then his disciples came and awoke him, saying, Master, save us, we perish. And he said unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and so there was a great calm. And the men marveled, saying, What man is this that both the winds and the sea obey him?" The crossing of the Delaware River on December 25th, 1776, by General George Washington and his men, the sparing of the troops, and the capture of the Hessian mercenaries are something to be thankful for indeed. But that's only a part of the picture. Part of the bigger picture is the timeline of liberty. In sequence, we can be thankful for Christ's ascension to the right hand of God, according to Mark 16:9. And we can be thankful for Christ ruling and reigning now, according to Ephesians 1:20 21. You can also see Matthew Henry's commentary on the whole Bible regarding that passage. There's also thanksgiving for the Protestant Reformation, which restored biblical literacy, reasoning, and thinking to life and education. Additionally, the Bible came into the hands of the individual. We can be thankful for the pilgrims who furthered the gospel westward by coming to America with the intention of propagating the gospel. And we can be thankful that during the Founding Father era, with Christian upbringing for many of them, that a biblical form of government was birthed, which brought external liberty to civil government because of God's revealed law, his biblical principles contained within it. So in summary, the bigger picture is that Christ changed history. Things don't happen by happenstance. God is involved in the lives of men and nations. So joy to the world, everyone. The Lord has come. Let earth receive her King.
As always, if you're looking for additional resources or support, you can visit our website at principalacademy.com, check out our shop and our blog, and you can also find us on Facebook at Christian Homeschooling with Bible Principles, also on Instagram under Principal Academy. Thanks so much for joining us.
All right. Well, this is Heather Hall.
And this is Brian Hall.
For Christ and His glory.